welcome to Midwest Bias Podcast. It's KJ, and really, it's going to be a quick introduction here. And full disclosure here, this episode was taped a week to 10 days before it aired in preparation for the 7th annual Boundary Water Babes trip. And so some of the things we talk about in this episode may be just some very prescient moments from yours truly and my guests, or, you know, just maybe you could look at it as being dated at this point. But for instance, we talked about the CDC any day now will probably reinsert the mask mandate or at least recommend it. So we might be going back to mask wearing. And I kind of suspect, but by the time this airs, that will have already occurred. So just wanted to be upfront that this has been pre-recorded. We need to work around my vacations. That's just the way it is. So that's all I'm going to say at this point. With that, we'll just move right along. Speaking of Boundary Water Babes, let's bring one of them in.
It's time for Rachel Reports. Rachel Reports. Rachel Reports. She reports.
Oh, yes, she does report. And she's back to report on a number of places she's been since she was last on. Please welcome back Rachel.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
No, thanks for coming back. You know what? I realized that I don't think we've had you satisfy the Karen condition.
That's right. I want to know this about everybody. How in the world do you know KJ?
So I think we should probably have you do that now before we move forward. I mean, I know people know that we're buddies and that we're you're a non-little, so it wasn't a Kornheiser connection, but I'll let you take it from there.
Sure. So I feel like maybe 13 or 14 years ago, maybe an acquaintance of mine at church, had suggested joining a softball team she was a part of. And so I went to the softball team, didn't know anybody else. And apparently you didn't know anybody else either. And we ended up meeting on the softball team and we lasted longer than the team. So I think that's good.
Absolutely. And you know what? The funny thing is that, yes, I didn't know anyone either. And I can't even remember. I think it was similar. Like I had just moved to the Twin Cities, or maybe not just moved, but I had been here a couple years and went through a breakup. And so I was feeling pretty lonely. And I think one of my aunts or uncles suggested she knew a friend that lived in the cities. And she suggested that, you know, this friend of hers has a daughter that's on a softball team and connected me with her. And then, you know, I don't think either one of us keep in touch with her, but we keep in touch with each other from that team, right?
Yeah.
Do you still play with her
exactly.
at all in any of your teams?
No, unfortunately, my team had to retire this year, so I am softball-less right now.
Okay. Well, I will say the other funny thing about all that is it wasn't a church league, but you met the girl through your church, if I remember right, and the name of the team was the Heathens.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And then the Boundary Water Babes trips started actually before the name Boundary Water Babes. I believe the name Boundary Water Babes was christened by Jason Fuse. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Isn't that right? I think it was Jason. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was during the Speaking of Tangents podcast that I must have been telling a story about our horrible portaging experiences. And I think that's where he christened that name for us. But the Boundary Water Babes, we've got a trip coming up. It's, I think, if I'm doing my math correctly, it's the 7th annual. Does that sound right?
Sure.
Of us going, not necessarily to the Boundary Waters, but to northern Minnesota usually. Have we gone anywhere else? Minnesota usually, right?
Yeah, I think it's usually north in Minnesota. Yep.
Yeah, up north.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and this year we're going pretty close to the Boundary Waters, like really close to the Canadian border. So it should be really fun.
Definitely. Yep, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so thank you for satisfying the Karen condition. Now, when you were last on, I think you had just returned from a South Dakota trip. And so you mentioned that you went to Caribou Coffee, and I think it was in Rapid City. Wasn't that right? The Caribou Coffee in Rapid City? So the the western portion of South Dakota. And at that time, you said it was obvious that South Dakota was not in the Midwest, or at least that portion of South Dakota, because the caribou coffee was bad. Am I remembering this correctly? Okay.
Definitely. Yep.
And the thing that I took away from that is that if you can't do caribou coffee right, you must not be in the Midwest.
I would agree.
And in fact, I think you said at the time that Minnesota knows how to caribou or something like that. Do you have any theories as to why Minnesota knows how to caribou so well?
Well, yeah, sadly I do. My husband recently wrote a paper on this, and somehow I had to edit it.
What?
But I did learn that caribou did start in Minnesota, in fact, in Edina, which is in the metro area.
Oh, yeah, the ritzy part of the Twin Cities.
Yep. And I believe you can still go visit that one. So I'm pretty proud that we can claim caribou as our own.
Absolutely. But I need to say I'm wrong here, because I thought for a while that caribou originated in Minnesota, but then I don't know if I thought I Googled it and found out that it's from out east. It originated in Maine or somewhere. And so I've been telling people that have been asking me, you know, well, how come I don't ever find caribou? I'm like, you don't? You're from Boston. It's got to be out there. It's from Maine. And I think I've said that about 3 or 4 times. And part of it was I was talking about Starbucks and how now I have to eat crow because I like the matcha tea from Starbucks. But now you're telling me that I was wrong. So I apologize to everyone that I misled. Are you certain it originated in Minnesota?
I'm fairly certain. Because when I heard you mention it out east recently, I'm like, boy, that sure doesn't seem right after that paper I read. So I Googled it again just to make sure. And, I'm pretty sure Wikipedia said Edina. So I'm feeling pretty comfortable.
Okay. Well, Wikipedia, if it's Wikipedia, it has to be true.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. So what was the paper about? I mean, obviously caribou, but what was the premise of the paper? What was the assignment?
Oh, something maybe with business marketing or business structure or something I don't really care about.
Yeah. Something about local businesses, though, or did he just choose that because he's a caribou fan?
He chose it because he's a caribou fan, definitely.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I'm wrong again. Caribou is... I'm happy to be wrong in this instance because I love caribou and I'm happy to claim it's from Minnesota.
There you go.
Okay, so thank you for educating me. All right,
no
so
problem.
Going off of that Midwestern theme a little bit, which is obviously the premise of this podcast, you have done some traveling within the Midwest recently, and even one trip way outside the Midwest.
I did.
You've been to Iowa a few times, or a couple times. What is it? A few or a couple?
Oh, a couple. I went a couple of times.
So twice?
Two. Yes.
Okay.
Twice.
All right.
Yep.
So
yes.
Where else have you been? I mean, you went to your family's cabin a couple of times.
Yes.
Where else have you been?
Yeah. Went to a bunch in Wisconsin, apparently. Went to Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Spent a weekend in Osceola, Wisconsin. Actually did a road trip down kind of by you. We hit Red Wing, Lake City, and Wabasha. So those river
beautiful.
Towns.
Beautiful.
Yep. And then... It went down to Dallas. Not really sure how that fits in there, but.
So how did you get, I'm assuming to all of these places, except for maybe Texas, you drove?
Correct.
Did you fly to Texas or did you drive?
We flew.
Okay. So my question about flying and actually just about leaving the Midwest, did you notice any difference in how people were dealing with COVID in the Midwest versus Texas, or even Wisconsin versus Minnesota versus Iowa, all Midwestern states, Hall of Famer certified? Did you notice any difference in mask wearing? My guess is you didn't really see anyone wearing a mask in any of these places, except for maybe the airport, right? Because people just stopped wearing masks.
Yep, that was basically it. We saw masks in the airport because you're required to, but beyond that, there wasn't much masking or social distancing anywhere. Pretty much back to normal, it seemed like. Yep.
Yeah, and I have noticed that when we went out to Montana, when we first got there, we were wearing our masks. We went inside to grocery stores and we were putting our masks on to go shopping or whatever, and we noticed that no one else was wearing them. And the signs on the door at the time say, if you're unvaccinated, please wear a mask. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to. And so finally, we just said, well, we're the only ones in here not wearing, we're the only ones in here wearing a mask. We're the vaccinated ones. So then we just took them off. And it's now I know that it's probably not a good idea. I mean, I went to a concert. Nobody was wearing a mask there. So now I feel like it's time to buckle down again, because I think the CDC is on the verge, or maybe they have already put the mask mandate back.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We're going back, unfortunately.
Well, I can tell you our one funny mask story. You know, it's been ages since we've worn masks, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to follow the rules, wear masks in the airport. We get to the airport, we go through security, we get to the gate, we board the plane, we take off. Everything's fine. We get up in the air and the stewardess comes by and says, my husband's mask isn't good enough.
Oh, no.
So she gives him a new one. I'm like, really?
So you guys made it all the way through. And then when you get on the plane, so what kind of mask was he wearing? Was he wearing the gaiter, which I've seen him wear in the past?
Yes. Yes. He wears a gaiter just because of some stuff he has to have on his head and it fits better. But that wasn't good enough after we were airborne. So
that's interesting.
We were fine. We changed. It was just a little funny.
So you didn't put up a fit in the air like it seems every other person on the airplane nowadays does?
Nope. We behaved.
No, I have to take a plane in March to Nashville. And actually, I'm supposed to leave the country in February. And I you know how I feel about flying. I think we're going to be, we may not be allowed to fly again. And, or specifically going out of the country in February. I wonder if they're going to close the borders.
We shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. It's just depressing. So I'm just going to move on from that.
Sounds good.
So as we've covered earlier, you have done a lot of traveling within the Midwest over the last couple months. But I'm going to ask you if you noticed anything in your travels that maybe you filed away as your most Midwestern moment or moments, and even in Texas, if you noticed a Midwestern moment, because they can happen outside of the Midwest, especially if people are from the Midwest that live other places now.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Well, I had a couple, one being the most recent this weekend. I'm not sure if this happens anywhere else, but I was in Iowa visiting the in-laws.
Uh-huh.
And we had a rather heated about 10 to 15 minute discussion over whether Quick Trip and Quick Star are the same place.
Really?
Which I have to think is rather Midwest.
That's a total Midwestern moment. Yeah. What was the consensus? Because I know the correct answer here.
Yes. And can I tell you, I normally don't argue with the in-laws because it's not really worth it.
Exactly.
But I knew I was right in this case. And I still don't think they believe me that they are the same place.
Do the in-laws ever travel outside of Iowa, where you can see in Wisconsin and Minnesota the Quick Trip is the same logo, really, except for the star and the trip, same lettering, the same coloring, the store layout is exactly the same in all of these stores. Do they ever leave Iowa, I think is the most appropriate question here.
I thought they had, but apparently not with their eyes open.
Quick Star and Quick Trip are the same. And did you then further the discussion to Casey's versus Quick Trip as being the most Midwestern store? You did. What was that? I bet you they picked Casey's.
Well, it wasn't so much the most Midwestern store, but the fact that there's quite the rivalry over which is the better one. And that they're both expanding in the Midwest, and they were quite adamant Quick Star was better, which
I
would agree.
I will side with that.
Also, Quick Trip.
Is it correct? Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
And I will say that Casey's, from the little research I've done, and by research I mean what Casey's tweeted at us, is that they're in like 17 different states, and Quick Star and Quick Trip are in, I don't know, maybe four? Three states. But that doesn't, they may,
interesting,
both stores may be the most Midwestern store, either one can claim, but I still think Quick Trip is the heart of the Midwest, the heart of the Midwestern gas station / convenience store.
I agree.
Okay. Any other Midwestern moments? Because that one is a good one.
Yes. So apparently in Wisconsin in June is June Dairy Month.
Okay. Isn't every month in Wisconsin Dairy Month?
You would think, right?
Yeah.
And we were visiting my parents in Stevens Point.
Okay.
And we were driving down this road and there was a median and there were some people in the middle of it. And just being in the metro, I automatically assumed they were some homeless people. And it turned out it was a cow, a lady dressed up as a cow and a lady man dressed up as a farmer directing us down the road, which was a little surprising.
Was there some sort of an event?
Yes, apparently.
Okay.
So we got to drive through this farm, and it was all drive-through because of COVID, but we got to see all of the farm equipment. They had it all lined up for us, and then we got to drive in a barn, and they just started giving us food like crazy. They gave us milk. They gave us grilled cheese sandwiches. They gave us chips,
wow.
Cranberries. They gave us ice cream, like bags of this stuff because nobody was coming to the event and it was all free for Dairy Month. And then after we left that barn, we got to drive right down the middle of the dairy barn and see cows on both sides of us. So that's
wow, that is
seemed very, very Midwest to me.
Yeah, that is very Midwest. Now, okay, so was this a planned excursion? Did you say we're going to go to the Dairy Fest or did you just stumble upon this free food gift?
Yeah, I would say my mom has a skill for finding random adventures and not necessarily telling us what's going to happen.
Okay.
So it was a bit of a surprise.
But not to her.
Definitely. No, not to her.
Okay, so she knew about it, but the rest of the family did not.
Yes. Oh, and I forgot to mention they gave us cheese curds because clearly, I mean, Midwest.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Wow. I would have enjoyed that in the moment. And then my body would not have enjoyed any of that later. But that is definitely Midwestern.
Yep. And then I just had one more quick one.
Oh, wow.
And
okay,
I'm not
great.
Sure if this is Midwestern. Yep. But again, we were in Iowa this weekend, the things I learned this weekend. And we're at my father-in-law's house and discovered that apparently all these farmers, particularly in the Midwest, have YouTube channels. And just film what they do all day, and you can just sit and watch those videos. I had no idea.
Really?
I don't know if that's Midwest or not, but I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, it might not be Midwest, but it might be dairy farmer. You know, is it just dairy farm or can be any type of farm?
I think it's any kind of farm. So if you're bored sometime.
Yeah. I mean, is this some sort of offshoot of farmersonly.com, the dating service?
Maybe.
So do you know what any of these YouTube channels are?
I remember one name because it's Cole the Corn Star.
Oh, God. Oh. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Well, you know what?
We can
look that up if you want.
Yep.
And that's kind of funny that you mentioned that because Ed Butt tweeted at us a couple of weeks ago. He retweeted this tweet by Simon Kustenmacher, I'm sure I'm butchering that name, but Ed said, rather than, quote, do you live near a dairy farm, end quote, I would say that if you live in a state with more cattle than people, you are Western, not Midwestern. And then, so I thought that was kind of interesting. And so then he includes this Simon Kustenmacher included his tweet said, dear Canadians and U.S. Americans, which I found, I guess U.S. Americans. That makes sense. There are Americans that live other places than the U.S. Do you live in cattle country or in people country? And then he included a map. And Ed said, I want a recount in Iowa. So there are 9 states in the union that have more cattle than cattle than people. And there are 3 Canadian provinces, too. So I'll list a state, and you tell me if you agree if it's Western. Idaho.
Oh, yeah.
So
definitely.
These are the states that have more cattle than people. Idaho, Montana,
yep.
Wyoming, North Dakota, the whole state of North Dakota.
Oh, maybe.
The whole state of South Dakota, the whole state of Nebraska, the whole state of Kansas, and the whole state of Oklahoma, and the whole state of Iowa.
Interesting.
Yeah. I would say Iowa is for sure Midwestern, no matter how many, you know, yes, no matter its cattle to people ratio, no matter what that is. And again, North Dakota, South Dakota, I got to divide that, and Nebraska, I've got to divide that, and Kansas, divide it in half. Western half is Western.
Yep.
So I thought that was interesting.
I would agree.
That might be the new metric. Are there more cattle than people?
There you go.
Not what proximity you are to dairy farmers. So I just thought I'd throw that out there since we were talking about that.
Nice.
Or cows in general. Okay, so,
yeah.
And speaking
funny
of,
how it comes back
exactly,
to that.
And food, all the food that you had that was free. So speaking of food, then this will be our parting question for you. The state fair, the Minnesota State Fair is coming up.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Assuming we don't have another COVID shutdown situation, hopefully not, because that would be very sad for you in particular in regards to the state fair, because that'd be 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
But assuming we don't and the state fair is on, I'm first of all going to go out on a limb and say you are going to go no less than 3 times. Am I right?
Correct. So far, I have 2 times booked for sure, but I'm sure there'll be at least a third.
Okay. Yep. And I would say, I mean, I'm considering you, I'm actually calling it, you are a state fair expert.
Thank you.
And being an expert, I'm going to also go out on a limb here and say you've already looked at the list of the new foods that the fair is coming out with this year.
Oh, most definitely.
And
yep.
And so do you have one that you're, or more than one, that you're definitely going to try? And is there any, or are there any, that you're like, not touching that?
Yeah. So one of the new ones I thought I'd try would be the Spuffle Puff.
Spuffle Puff?
Yep.
Okay.
It's mashed sweet potatoes blended with sweetened cream cheese, then wrapped in dough and fried.
Ooh. The cream cheese is the part that I normally don't like hot foods at the state fair because it's so hot to begin with. I just want cooler things or sweet things. But cream cheese, this is going to be hard. I bet you that. And this is called the Hufflepuff?
Bufflepuff.
Oh, okay. Is it a takeoff of Harry Potter's Hufflepuff, I wonder? Spufflepuff.
I was guessing so.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So you're going to try that for sure. Anything else?
Yeah, the other couples seem to be more desserts. So there's a dual berry shortcake, a jumbo donut sundae, and then a s'more funnel cake.
Oh, wow. Read me the description of the first one.
The dual berry shortcake is strawberries and blueberries over a sugar-coated Betty and Earl's biscuit topped with whipped cream and balsamic glaze.
Balsamic glaze? I don't know how that'll pair, but I'm sure it'll be. I mean, so I'm sure it'll be good because these foods go through rigorous testing, don't they? I mean, there's lots of auditions to get these foods in there, so they have to be good.
Yes. Yep. There are 2 that did not interest me.
Okay. So there are 4 that you're for sure going to try, along with the staples you get every year. Sweet Martha's cookies, deep fried Oreos.
Yep.
What else do you get every year? Pronto Pup.
Prono Pup, yep. You got to get the State Fair cheese curds, cotton candy, french fries. Yeah, the list goes on and on.
Don't you get something like apple or apple cider frozen or something?
Oh, yes, yes. See, I forgot about that. It's been a year. I don't remember how to do this. Yep, frozen apple cider pops.
Frozen apple cider pops. Okay, so we know you're going to get your fair share of food. So what are the ones
Definitely.
That you are not going to get, that don't interest you, are the new foods?
Just a couple of them that jumped out was a cucumber jalapeno limeade.
Okay, all right.
Seem like
is that a drink?
For me. Yep.
Okay, the cucumber lime would be good, but I don't think the jalapeno, I don't think I'd like that.
No.
Okay, and then and the other one?
A buffalo chicken dough skit.
Dough skit. Biscuit and a donut?
Yeah, a fluffy biscuit-style donut stuffed with shredded chicken glazed with a sweet and spicy buffalo icing and topped with crispy bacon bits.
Oh.
That just didn't
Is this sort of like the southern twist of chicken and waffles?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's too heavy for me. The state fair is usually hot. Well, let's be honest. You know, I don't go to the state fair. In fact, The best part of the state fair for me is when the Hall of Famer and I drive to the front gate, you deliver us the foods we ordered, and we drive away, which we're going to look. I mean, we missed out on it last year, like, you know, everybody did on the fair. I'm hoping we can set that arrangement up again.
We'll see what we can do.
Awesome. So other than food, and this seriously is the last question.
Okay.
Other than food, of course, what are you most looking forward to at the fair?
It would definitely just be the overall people watching. It doesn't get much better than just sitting on a bench watching the wide variety of interesting people walking by.
Okay, so people watching. Interesting. So the rides or the big slide with the burlap sack that gives you splinters in your butt. By you, I mean me. Not those are not the things you're looking forward to, the animal farm.
Well, I'm looking forward to all of it. But if you ask for the most important thing, it would be the people watching. Otherwise, I'm thrilled to see the giant pumpkin. I'm thrilled to see the giant pig.
Okay.
I'm thrilled to go down the slide. Yep.
Okay.
I could go on and on.
Okay. So your microphone is starting to break up. It's probably related to my internet. So I'm going to ask one more question related to the state fair. So it counts as the same question in my book, because I know I said that was the last one.
Okay.
But do you think that if they do make it a mask mandate, you'll go? Or is it, I can't imagine walking around that state fair in the hot weather with a mask on.
I would definitely go. I'm an expert and a diehard. That wouldn't stop me.
Okay. All right. It may very well be the next time we have you on is after the state fair to report on all these foods. So now we know what you're going to try of the new foods. So I'm excited to hear how you like them or did not like them. I may ask you to do the taste test with the Hall of Famer rating system when you report back.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you.
And we'll see you very soon up north near the Boundary Waters.
Definitely.
And speaking of the taste test with the Hall of Famer, we'll be right back with the Hall of Famer.
Taste test with the Hall of Famer.
Yes, it is time for Taste Test with the Hall of Famer. And sitting next to me is the Hall of Famer. Welcome.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to this moment all week.
Well, actually for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about going to Stormcloud Brewery in Frankfort, Michigan, and how Ed Butt curated separate lists of beer for us to taste test at Stormcloud. And I said that we would go over that in more detail at the next taste test. And that next taste test has arrived.
Let's just say he nailed it.
Oh yeah, he definitely nailed it. Now I have with me the beer list that Ed filled out when we got there and gave it to the waitress. And I tucked that away and brought it back with me so I wouldn't forget. Now he's got you labeled as number one because, yeah, you're a Hall of Famer. And I'm labeled as number two for the beers that we had. That he chose for us. So the first beer for both of us, he chose one in common for both of us, and that was the Rainmaker Ale, a traditional Belgian pale ale, bronze medal winning Belgian style pale ale at Great American Beer Festival 2014.
If I remember right, this is kind of like their signature beer.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rainmaker
Ale. Yeah, like their most popular beer, I believe.
Yeah, and I thought, oh boy, we're starting off on a bad foot here, Ed, with an ale for me. But the Hall of Famer tried it first, and I wrote down our scores.
Ooh.
And you gave it a
4. Ah, geez, that's good.
Yes, a 4. And I gave it a 3 initially. And then I, you know, so we had these on a flight, and Rainmaker was 1. So I can see I've added a plus here. So I think, you know, 20 minutes later, I must have gone back to the ale after trying some others. And I think I said, oh, I got to add a plus on this. So I put interesting plus. I liked that one. And I would order that again, even though it's not a 4. Okay, so that was the first one. And then the second one for you only was the Bird Walker Blonde. Light-bodied blonde ale, lightly hopped, light beer drinkers start here.
I did get a little nervous when I saw the lightly hopped, because I'm not a hopper. But you know what?
Well, yeah, what did you give it?
I gave it a, geez, that's good.
Another four.
Another one. He was just knocking out of the park here.
He really was. And then, because you and I shared the Rainmaker Ale,
yep,
I'm going to go on to the rest for you. So the next one for you was the 228 Triple. And that one is our silver medal winning Belgian style Abbey Ale at Great American Beer Festival 2020.
Ooh.
4 exclamation points. A traditional Belgian style triple, light bodied, soft, and slightly fruity. I should mention that so far out of all the beers, this one is the highest with ABV, 8.5%.
Yeah, but, baby.
And 22 IBUs, International Bitterness Units. Thanks, Tot to K. Oh, hang on.
The name drop of the week.
Okay, so the 228 triple.
I gave it a, geez, plus.
A 4+. Ed was nailing these.
Near perfect.
Absolutely. And I think we had 5 each, correct?
No, 4.
4 each. So yours, the fourth one for you was Fader Age Pilsner.
Sure.
Foder, Master Chris Schneff, brewed a hoppy pilsner and let it age in our non-sour Foder for 3 months.
I'm sure we'll be corrected on that.
Yeah. Producing a clean, light-bodied lager with a strong oak backbone. Look, Foder, Hefehausen, they're all the same.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I don't know. I think I nailed that.
They're not,
but
that's okay.
I nailed that. Okay, so what did you... This is, again, your final beer of the flight, and you gave it a...
It was the lowest rating... Still good, but I gave it an interesting.
A 3. So, the lowest rating for the Hall of Famer on all 5 of those was a 3.
All 4 of those.
Excuse me, all 4 of those. And then for me, after the Rainmaker Ale, he chose the Night Swimmer Stout. A Belgian-style stout as dark as swimming in Lake Michigan on a moonless night. 7% ABV, 34 IBUs. Okay, it looks like I originally gave it a 3.
She definitely changed her scores as she continued to drink.
Yeah, and I went and crossed it out later and gave it a 4. Ah, geez, it's good. And then the next one, I didn't change this one. Londonesque. A British-style brown porter fermented with our house Belgian stout yeast. Brewed with 100% Brewer's Gold hops from Michigan Hop Alliance in Omena, Michigan. 30 IBUs. I gave it a 3+. Interesting plus. And I did not change that as the night wore on. So far my best score is a 4. And then we moved on to the last one for me. Foder Aged Schwarzbier. Brewer Chris Schneff brewed a traditional German-style Schwarzbier, but then for a little twist, he lagered it in an oak fader for 3.5 months. Subtle dark malt character combined with soft oak make this a deliciously unique beer. Oh, and it says the official beer of Storm Cloud Curling. I don't think I noticed that on the night of.
No. Do you think that would have changed your score?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I don't let things like that affect me.
Oh, I see.
And I gave this a 4. Ah, geez, it's good. So I gave 2 4s. The Night Swimmer Stout and the Fader Age Schwarzbier.
Very nice.
Schwarzbier.
And we enjoyed them thoroughly.
And I don't know what a Schwarzbier is. I'm counting on someone to tell me. But yeah, we had a great evening, and we came home with, well, I bought a t-shirt from Stormcloud Brewery, but we also came home with this glass, Stormcloud, what is this kind of glass is that? A beer glass.
Nice looking beer glass.
So we have 2 glasses tonight for the taste test, so we're switching from the beer to the cider tonight, just the cider. Last time, I think we did 1 cider and 1 beer, 1 from Patrick Smith's curation and 1 from Patrick Moffitt's curation. But tonight, we went back to pure ciders, 2 ciders from Patrick Smith. And we have the Todd Takei glass, and we have the new Stormcloud Brewery glass. So I'm going to let the Hall of Famer, you've picked them already.
I have, yeah. And, we're ready.
So I'm going to grab these for you, and you can explain.
All right. The first one we are going to try out is the Lost Boy Cider, which we've already had one of these. So this is the other one. Once again, a great, great label of looks like a little Robin Hood about to step on an apple.
Wait, Robin Hood or Peter Pan?
Peter Pan. Looks like a really cool label. Hazy hopped dry cider. And this one is from Alexandria, Virginia. On the brick scale. Oh my gosh, another thing that's confusing. I've never heard of it. BRIX, brick scale. Mm. From 0 to 5, it is hovering right at a 0. I don't know what that means.
Does it mean ish? Because I don't think they would advertise it as such.
Let me read it to you. This can of cider is special. Mm. Just like Peter Pan. It contains perhaps the most interesting and exclusive hop of all time, the Mosaic. Born in Washington State, then grown and blended in the Yakima Valley. This cider is exploding with fruit-forward notes of blueberry, mango, roses, and citrus. Unfiltered, hazy, and 100% all-natural juice. The explorer in you will truly appreciate the most interesting cider you've ever had. Hello, yes, I would like to try that.
So, the brick scale. Cider aficionados, Patrick Smith, what is the Brix scale?
Okay, it is hazy. They are not kidding with haziness here. Kind of a yellowish color, mango-ish color, perhaps. Ooh, very nice aroma. I think I smell a little rose in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely smells fruity, though. Okay, I'm going for it.
I smell a little piece of Peter Pan's underwear.
All right, that is, ooh, it's got a little tartness there that's getting me in the throat.
Oh, another one of these back of the throat business.
Yeah. It's really good, though. It's very refreshing. It is citrusy, fruity. It sticks with you.
Is it sweet or
dry? No, it's not. It's not sweet. I'm never good with the whole dry thing, but it's not sweet. It's good. I'm giving it a 3.5. Interesting plus.
So you would not order it?
It depends on what else is on the menu.
Now, to clarify, that is your definition. You have to give it a 4 in order to order it again.
Correct.
I will order something that I've given a 3+.
Yeah.
Okay, now I will take a sniff of this.
Okay. Todd will have to remind me if I like the other Lost Boy cider better or if I like this one better.
Well, I think you mean Patrick, but
Todd's the one that keeps track of everything.
I do think that Todd keeps track of everything, and that's why we went over the storm cloud in detail, because I know Todd likes to keep track of it all.
Yeah, that's important.
Okay, yeah, I don't like the smell of this.
Why? Too many roses for you?
It smells grapefruity.
Ooh.
And I don't like grapefruit. Citrus. Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to taste it now.
She's really thinking about this one, folks. It's ruminating.
Yeah, it's definitely not sweet. It's not too sweet. It's not, I don't know about too dry. I don't know if it's too dry or if it's too, let's see, I'll try
too
again.
Too something.
There's a twang to it that I don't love.
Twang.
There's a little bit of a twang, but it's certainly not bad, and it's something that I'm not sure if I'd order it, so I should probably give it a 3. Interesting.
Okay.
It's lower than an interesting, though.
You're starting to go towards my method here, if you're going to order
it. No, because I said I'd order a 3+.
That's true.
Which is why I didn't give it a 3+, because I don't know that I'd order it. I'm going to keep sipping on this, though, while you explain the second one. So
yeah, well,
I might change my...
It does take me a while.
I might change my vote here like I did at Stormcloud.
All right. We have our first imported beer. I don't know how to say it. It is a Swedish hard cider, so I'm pretty excited about this. It's strawberry lime. It is, I'm going to do my best here, Rekorderlig. Rekorderlig. Someone right now is shaking their head and just pronouncing it correctly, so I apologize.
Rekorderlig.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. And so it's strawberry lime flavored. I'm excited about that. It even tells you how to perfectly serve it. Whoa. With ice cubes, 3 to 4 mint leaves, squeeze, 1 squeeze of a lime, garnish with wedge. Beautifully Swedish refreshment.
Oh gosh, wow. We're not doing all that.
No, we're not. We're drinking it straight up.
Right out of the storm cloud glass.
Yep. Hard cider made with pure Swedish spring water. Bring it on.
Wait, upgrade announcement. Ooh. I'm upgrading the Lost Boy to a 3+. I would order it.
Whoa.
Yep.
How'd that happen?
I needed a few more tastes.
Jeez.
And here comes the recorder leg.
Whoa. Mm. This has a pungent smell. Like, it's kicking me right now with some strawberry.
It's
kicking
very,
the nostrils.
It's reddish.
Yes, definitely. It's quite reddish. It's near purple, actually. It, oh my gosh, you can smell the strawberries like there's fresh ones in there. That's amazing. Seems like it might be overwhelming of strawberry, and I'm excited about that. Oh dear, I love this.
Is it sweet?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really good. I'm giving that a 5.
Oh, you betcha?
Yeah, you betcha, baby.
Wow,
super good.
Ding, 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 you betcha.
Yeah, see what you think of that one.
Okay, it's definitely strawberry smelling. Like, it smells like strawberry jam. It smells great.
She's thinking about it here, folks. While you think about it, there's one thing that is making me a little thinking, like a second thought.
Oh, you can't take it back.
No, I'm not. No, no, I'm definitely keeping it. I feel like there's a hint of stevia in there.
Oh, could be.
I'm sure. I mean, it says naturally and artificially flavored.
Vegan friendly.
Yeah. So I could be wrong, but it has that kind of flavor to it.
It says naturally and artificially. Yeah. Did you say that already?
Yes. I'm still giving it the same exact score, though.
It does taste like it has some sort of artificial sugar
in it. Oh, yeah. This has some. You give your score, and then I'll read it.
Tasting another sip. Yeah, that's a 4. Ah, oh, geez, it's good.
News alert. I'm going to have to bring this down just a titch.
You can't do that. You can't.
Nope, I'm taking it back.
We had a you betcha but party.
Listen to this. I have never seen so many ingredients in a cider. Maybe they just don't label it. I don't know. But this one has water, hard cider, sugar, less than 2% of blah, blah, blah. But it also has colored with carrot and grape juice concentrate, sodium citrate, some other stuff, and then, boom, sucralose.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what I might be tasting. That thick sugar kind of gets me a little bit.
It gives you a little aftertaste.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to downgrade this to a 4.5.
I don't see any ingredients listed on the other one, the Hazy Hopped Lost Boy.
Yeah, and I don't usually on most of them. It seems like
ingredients, Virginia apples.
Yeah.
Mosaic hops yeast.
Yeah, so it's the some ciders seem a little more pure. This one doesn't seem as pure. It has a lot of extra stuff in it. So that is why I have to downgrade it. To a 4.5.
Okay, well, you still rated it higher than mine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's still really good. I just think they threw a little too much extra stuff in there that they didn't really need to do. But maybe that's how they do it in Sweden.
Maybe.
And they're really touting this 110 calories on this can.
Yeah,
so maybe
that's because they use sucralose and not real sugar.
So maybe that's kind of part of it. They're like, ooh, look it's only 110 calories.
Although it does say sucralose sugar in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sugar and sucralose.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, well, not bad. The lowest score we gave tonight was a 3+.
Yeah, that's really good. Patrick Smith, I'm telling you, well done.
And the highest score we gave was a 4+. Yes, well done, Patrick. Which one are you going to take?
I'm still sipping on the strawberry one, so, you know, I'm hoping you'll let me have.
Okay, I will take the Lost Boy Hazy Hopped.
Okay. We're a good team.
Yes, we are. And that is a wrap on another show. And if you're sitting around just drinking cider, a good Central Standard Time has got to be had by all.
You betcha.
All right, that's it. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Bias Pod, and you can email your questions and comments to MidwestBiasPod@gmail.com. Be sure to rate and review and subscribe or follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Overcast, that's where I get my podcasts. And no, Overcast is not a sponsor of this podcast yet. And especially be sure to rate and review this podcast if you really like it. If you don't like it, no worries. Don't even waste your time. Really, it's fine. So thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Bye now.
we got to drive in a barn, and they just started giving us food like crazy.